A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death. But God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
Shine on us.
When I call, answer me, O my just God. You who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me and hear my prayer.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep. For you alone, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Righteous One. He is expiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord.
Be with you. with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything to eat here?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. There was kind of a strange story in the news this week. I don't know if you saw this. In Oregon, a truck carrying 100,000 salmon fish overturned, slid down an embankment. 25,000 of the salmon died. The other 75,000 were saved when they slid further down the embankment and ended up in the river below. Amazing. But you just can't make this stuff up, folks. It's true. It really happened. How many times has somebody told you a seemingly fantastical story only to follow it up with, "You just can't make this stuff up"? Because it's true. We're often astounded by tales that seem amazing, unbelievable. And yet, there they are, quite true. Well, in the first early days after Christ's resurrection, the first Christians were facing the same sort of problem. They were facing feelings of doubt and uncertainty and amazement. Can this really be true? And they had just lived through it. So for us today, as people of faith, we are called to believe in those same truths, the truth of the apostolic message that has been handed down to us over the ages, passed on initially by those people that Jesus handpicked to be his personal witnesses. Now, our gospel reading today may sort of seem like we jump into the story in the middle. Is that, you know, these two guys are telling a story, right? Well, you're right. We've been reading from John for the past couple of weeks, and today all of a sudden we're in Luke. The two guys that are telling their story at the beginning of our gospel passage are the two guys who were the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they had just finished telling the disciples, you know, "Here we are walking along, this guy comes up. It was Jesus, but we didn't know it was Jesus. And he began talking to us about the scriptures. And he opened our eyes to all these things in the scriptures. And then we invited him to stay with us. And all of a sudden, as he broke the bread, we realized it really was Jesus." So think about that moment. The disciples are hearing this for the very first time. I mean, you and I may look at it and say, you know what, that seems almost liturgical, right? First we have the word, the scriptures, and then we have the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist. But for this first time they're hearing it, it had to have been amazing. And while they're sitting around scratching their heads and say, "I can't be sure I believe this," all of a sudden, who's there but Jesus himself? The room is locked. The windows are closed. How did he get there? They're scared. They're terrified. They're going out of their skulls because how can this be that he's standing there? But he calms them down. And what does he tell them? "Peace be with you." And he invites them to put aside their doubts. Come touch me. Come feel me. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. So they touch him. They see him. They hear him. They watch him eat a little piece of fish. And they are incredibly, deliriously joyful beyond belief. And yet, he really is there. Now, throughout that early first century, Christians faced a lot of opposition, a lot of doubt, a lot of things were said about them that had to be countered. And all of the New Testament writers, the ones who wrote down the gospel eventually, and the letters that we have, the epistles that we have there, they went to great lengths to disprove the things that were being said against the church, right? So they would say, okay, now, empty tomb, right? They just forgot, a bunch of women, they didn't know what the tomb was. The writers countered with, Joseph of Arimathea, a very important guy, knew where the tomb was. So did Mary Magdalene. So did, as they say in one of the Gospels, the other Mary and some of the other women. So they knew what tomb they were going to. They knew what tomb it was going to. Okay, so the other objection, it was empty because somebody stole his body. And y'all are making up this story. They said, no, nobody stole the body. There were guards there. Well, you know, the guards are all saying they fell asleep and someone stole the body. No. They were paid to say that. Have you noticed none of the guards were punished? Well, you know, it's awfully convenient that this Jesus fellow only appeared to a handful of you guys who were close to him. No, says St. Paul. 500 people saw him at one point. 500 people. And so the church grew, primarily through, you know, word of mouth preaching like we heard from Peter on that very first Pentecost Sunday. That was the passage we had in our first reading. But one of the things that truly amazed people was that these Christians were absolutely convinced in the resurrection, and their faith was so unshakable they would rather die at the hands of the state than to renounce their faith. Can we say the same today? Why does it seem that we're more ready to believe in space aliens and the latest conspiracy theories than that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that we have unwavering faith in Jesus Christ? You know, Edith Stein, y'all know who she is? 20th century martyr, died in the gas chamber at Birkenau. She's canonized as Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. That's the name she took on as a nun. She called faith an act of the intellect rather than of emotion. An act of the intellect rather than emotion. Can we ourselves make that sort of act of the intellect? Can we open our minds to listen to the scriptures, to ponder the gospels, to fall on our knees like doubting Thomas and proclaim, "My Lord and my God"? Can we, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, see the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist? Or are we too amazed at this seemingly fantastical story? No. The good news of Jesus Christ is not simply made up. He did rise from the dead. He did ascend into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us, dispensing mercy for us sinners. You can't make this stuff up, folks. God love you.